He outrun the crowd. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, I got those two words underscored, the place. I'm glad Jesus is able to get to the place where you're at. Amen? And it said, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, I like that Lord emphasis there, accepting Jesus as his Lord. I don't know too many people that get saved apart from that. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's remain standing for a word of prayer, and then you can be seated. Our Father, in Jesus' name, we approach the throne of grace and we ask you, Lord, to work in our hearts. Lord, do what needs to be done. Lord, forgive us of every sin. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive, God, to the Holy Ghost. May your will be done in the service tonight. Bring to my attention everything, Lord, that we need to see, everything, Lord, that we need to say. And dear Father, what you do for us, Lord, we'll thank you. Lord, we ask you to allow conviction to be in the service, save sinners. We don't know, Lord, who among us that you might be dealing with. We do not know, Lord, who that may be watching by way of live stream or will be watching by way of recording. But I ask you, dear Lord, that you would allow the Word of God to have free course and the Spirit of God be ungrieved and unquenched. Have your way, Lord, tonight. Lead, guide, and direct us. Help us do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. Getting a little warm in here. Amen. Amen. We've been dealing with the other, I believe it was last Sunday morning, I believe it was, we started dealing with just simple subject of the salvation of Zacchaeus. And, of course, the Lord moved in the service that night, and we didn't have any preaching that night. And so we're coming back to just kind of draw our attention to one specific aspect of this great story. And if you were here and if you've studied any on Zacchaeus, you'll know that Jesus only passed through Jericho one time. And that has a lot of meaning. That has a lot of warning, a lot of caution to sinners to not play games with God about their salvation, because you never know if Jesus is going to speak to you and deal with you again. He may pass your way once, and that may be it. He's never give a promise that he'll come back again and again and again. So you need to, if he ever deals with you, you need to do something about that. Be wise to do something about that right then. Because you can only get saved, I'm persuaded the Bible teaches that you can only get saved when God is dealing with you. We all believe here in a whosoever will gospel. The Bible teaches that. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We believe in that. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We believe that. We believe that. Hebrews 2:9, that Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. Every man. Now, I know the Calvinist persuasion would not say that because they believe in limited atonement that says that Jesus only died for a certain few. Well, that violates and destroys many verses of Scripture, such as those that we've already quoted. But although we believe in a whosoever will gospel, we do not believe in a whensoever will. You don't just break out your calendar and decide one day, I'm going to get saved when I'm this age, on this day, in this month, in this year. You don't know that. You don't know if God's going to deal with you. You don't know that. So it's best to deal with God about the most important thing on planet Earth is your salvation. It has the greatest consequences if you miss it. You'll never get over it. A person that rejects Christ will never, ever, in this life, nor the life to come, which is eternal, you'll never get over it. If you make the wrong decision about Jesus, you'll never get over that. So get saved. First time God ever pricks your heart, first time God deals with you, listen, don't turn your back to Him. Don't become stubborn and stiff-necked toward the advancements of the Lord. And get saved early as you possibly can. And you'll never regret that as long as you live. And you'll never regret it in heaven for sure. But Jesus only passed that way one time. Studies shows that also that when Jesus was going through Jericho, He was headed to raise Lazarus from the grave. And all of this was transpiring approximately 1 week before Jesus would be crucified. So time was running out. Jesus came here to die on an old rugged cross, and He was going through Jericho on purpose. I guarantee you it was on purpose. Of course, He'd never done anything without it being purposed and planned. And usually it involved people. Many times it just involved a person, such as in our case. We have no other reason for Jesus to be going through Jericho, a cursed city. If you know anything about the Old Testament, a cursed city. And Jesus went through there, and the only reason that we can really come to the conclusion to say that He passed through Jericho was that He knew all about Zacchaeus. And He knew that if He didn't go through there that day, that Zacchaeus would die in his sin and go to hell, because there would be no hope of salvation. Amen. Jesus has got to pass by. Amen. Jesus has got to be passing by. I don't want to get on this much, but there's a Hollywood evangelism that's going on in our day, easy believism that's going on in our day that really never says anything about Jesus dealing with a sinner. It's just basically presenting to them a few Bible questions, you know, do you agree with this? Do you believe this? And most people you ask in the Bible Belt would tell you this quick, you know, oh, well, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe He died. I believe that He was buried and rose again. And, you know, you could tell them the basic truths about the gospel, and they would say, oh, well, yeah, I believe that. I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of difference between just giving a mental assent to some scriptural questions than believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. Amen. And so, but anyway, we are definitely of the persuasion here that the Bible teaches, and there's several examples of that, that Jesus has got to be dealing with a person. John 6, no man can come except the Father which sent me draw him. There's got to be a drawing. There's got to be conviction. Conviction is that work of the Holy Spirit upon a sinner's heart, convicting him of sin that shows him and her that they are guilty before God as a transgressor of the law of God, which puts them in trouble with God with no hope of getting out of that in and of themselves. They have no way to save themselves. There's no other choices on planet Earth of any other saviors or any other means of salvation other than Jesus Christ. I know this is simple to us, elementary to us, but you'd be surprised how many people are missing it on the very truths of what I'm preaching right now. The Bible said in Acts 4:12, neither is salvation in any other. For there's none other name given under heaven and among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the only only Savior and offers the only salvation from sin. Amen? But anyway, we find that Zacchaeus is definitely a product of mercy, as we heard that sung about. Thank God for the mercy of God. Don't ever get over the mercy of God. The mercy of God is God withholding from you what you deserve. Praise God. Are we glad this evening that God did not give us what we deserve? I'm glad His mercy endureth to all generations. And of course, as I mentioned a moment ago, that according to the studies that we've done and others, that Jesus Christ was on His way to raise Lazarus from the grave and then on into that final week but prior to the crucifixion. And we dealt with some things last week on Zacchaeus and his salvation, and we know he got saved. But I specifically want to zero our attention in tonight. We could preach about the passing by of Jesus in verse 1, and I have said some things about that tonight. We could talk about the pursuit of Jesus in verse 2 and 3, where Zacchaeus is actually pursuing after the Lord. He's seeking the Lord. The Bible says that he sought to see Jesus, who he was, in verse 3. We could preach about that. And I want to encourage you, if you're listening today and you're lost without God, I want to encourage you to seek the Lord. To seek the Lord. I know you're the one that's lost, and I know the Bible said even right here in verse 10 of our text, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. I know that. But listen, the Bible, the same Bible that says that also teaches that it's okay for the sinner. In fact, it's encouraging for the sinner to seek after God. Amen. There's nothing wrong with you praying it. Listen, I know the Bible says in John 9:40 that God heareth not sinners. I know that. But what that's speaking about is general praying, just praying about the economy or praying about whatever. But now when it comes to a sinner praying about salvation in any aspect, God hears that. Amen. If it's praying, Lord, I'm seeking you. I want you to reveal yourself to me. I want you to draw me. I want you to work faith in my heart. Those type prayers God hears from a sinner, because it's relating to his only need and his greatest need, and that's salvation. And so we could talk about the pursuit of sinners. Seeking the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he's near, Isaiah says. The third one is the one I want to focus our attention on tonight, and we'll just spend what little time we got on that one. I want to talk about the press tonight. I want to talk about the press that's around Jesus. The Bible says in verse 3, he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. Everybody see that? And could not for the press because he was little of stature. Now we all know what the press is referring to. The press here is referring to the crowd. The crowd. The only other time that I'm aware of that the word press is used is in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 2, and verse number 4, and it's dealing with the four men that is carrying the man sick of palsy and comes to the house where Jesus was and where Jesus was preaching the Word of God. And those four men carrying the man sick of palsy, a paralyzed man, they could not get Jesus in the door because of the press. There was such a crowd around Jesus that those men could not get Jesus even in the door. But they had to go up, tear the roof off or part of the roof off and let him down into where Jesus was, and Jesus healed that man. So both accounts where the word press is used, it is describing a crowd that is associated with Jesus, a crowd that is around Jesus. The word press just simply means a throng, a crowd, a company, a multitude, a number of people. And so I want to focus our attention in on the crowd. Now, I've preached this before, far as the on Zacchaeus, and about everybody has. But I've always looked at the crowd in a negative light. I always looked at the crowd as a hindrance. I always looked at the crowd as what the devil was using. And I began to read this. Actually, I was coming up the road from South Carolina the other day, and I was just, God had me meditating just as I was driving on Zacchaeus. It just come on my mind, and I got to thinking about it, and I started seeing the press in a different light. I believe, in fact, the church here tonight could probably learn some things from this press. We probably could learn some things from this crowd. And I want to share some of those things with you if the Lord will help me tonight. The first thing, if you want to take notes, the first thing that I want to point out about the crowd is their, number one, the collection of the crowd. What do you mean the collection of the crowd? I'm talking about this press, this crowd was made up and of collected, congregated individuals. Now, if you look at that press in that light, you think about it. You think about how many individuals was in that crowd. They were no two of them alike. They were all different. They came from different backgrounds. They probably all had different past testimonies. But yet here we find them in the same crowd around Jesus, the collection of that crowd. As I look in front of me tonight, there's a crowd here, a congregation here tonight. And likewise, before me tonight are individuals that are from different backgrounds, have different interests, have different abilities, different personalities. But yet, here we are tonight as a collected crowd around the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I noticed that, and that really spoke to my heart, and that blessed me. To think of I don't know how many states actually would be represented right here in this congregation, far as where you were born. Where you were born, no telling how many, just in this number right here, where you were born at, what state you were born at. Listen, let's just get a few. Up down this side, what state were you born in? Just speak out real quickly. New York. Kentucky. Mississippi. Michigan, of all places. North Carolina Tar Heels. Where else? I mean, we're just talking about right here in this section. Maryland. Virginia. Georgia. Well, that grieved the spirit, didn't it? What else? Tennessee. Just right here in this section. Was there any more right here? Indiana. I think that makes 10 right here in this one section. Is there any different ones over here from these 10 that were mentioned here? South Carolina? Surely not. Say amen right there, Brother Ben. And look at you. Here you are. Rocky Mountains, and now you're at Rocky Top. So what is that, 12? 12 states right here. Where else? Illinois. So there's 13. Pennsylvania, 14. You see where we're talking about? What else? Texas. What is that, 15? Who said that? Oh, you might know. Where else? Florida. Who said that? Miss Sarah? You weren't born in Georgia? That's what's wrong with you. No, I'm just kidding. So there's, what, 16 or 17 states in this small congregation right here. And who would have ever thought that you could come from that many different states and after so many years wind up right here in this same congregation, same auditorium, same service? And what's the common denominator? Jesus. This crowd was made up of all kinds of different people, individuals that were collected from probably every walk of life, and now here they are with their whole life, or at least at this point, around Jesus. And that blessed my heart. That really spoke to my heart, amen? And I know that we could mention out some things that God used to get to Zacchaeus. We could mention some things, and I have mentioned him passing by and so forth. Those things, you know, was a great part of Zacchaeus getting saved. But how many of you, and I hope that you will before we leave tonight, will agree with what I'm presenting to you, that this crowd played a major role in Zacchaeus getting saved? In fact, listen to this. Zacchaeus knew where Jesus was because of the crowd. He didn't see Jesus at first. He saw the crowd. And he knew the crowd had the person and presence of Jesus in it. And he knew that if I'm going to at least see Jesus, I need to get where that crowd is going. I need to get ahead of them to where they will bring Jesus. Zacchaeus knew that that crowd was going to be bringing Jesus, and Jesus was going to be bringing the crowd right by where he was. So there's the collection. There's diversity in the crowd, but yet there's unity in the crowd. What is it that brings unity when there are such diversity? Jesus. Jesus is the one that brings oneness to the crowd. He's the common denominator. He is the one that caused the people to come together around him. I tell you, that helped me right there. This crowd, you know, they had all kinds of things they should have been doing and could have been doing, but they made Jesus a priority. Well, wouldn't that help us? I'll tell you, that would help us tonight, amen? This crowd was with Jesus verbally as well as visibly. You know good and well they were not just there walking down the street silent. You know they were saying things, maybe to Jesus, or crying out to him about a need or whatever. Or maybe some of them had already had their lives changed and they were expressing love and praise and honor to him. They were with Jesus visibly and they were with Jesus verbally. And so this has to do with the collection of the crowd, the collection of the crowd. I believe a church could learn some things about that. I believe, you know, we could probably learn a few things about how that we could come together with such diversity and different likes and dislikes and all of that, and we could come together and focus our attention on that Lord Jesus that is in our midst. Number two, about the crowd. I want to talk about, and I've already kindly referenced it, but I'll say maybe a couple things about it and move on. I want to talk, secondly, not only the collection of the crowd, I'd like to talk about the attraction of the crowd. Jesus was the attraction of the crowd. Why else were they around him and moving with him in the direction that he was going in? He was their attraction. Jesus was the attraction of the crowd. Listen now. And the crowd was the attraction for Jesus. Amen. So there's the attraction of the crowd. Amen. All of them, no doubt, had personal reasons in mind for being a part of the crowd. They all had a reason for being a part of the crowd that's going where that's around Jesus. They had their own reason. Boy, you listen, I believe we can learn something about that. You need to have your own personal reason why you're serving the Lord and why you're in the crowd with those that are walking with Jesus and going in the direction He's going. And amen. Amen. Don't go because somebody else is going. Have your own reason. Many in the crowd probably had been saved by Jesus. Many in the crowd had their lives changed by this Jesus Christ. Amen. There's no doubt about that. That there was probably some of those people that Jesus had healed, that Jesus had performed a miracle on, and here they are following Jesus and walking with Jesus with others that are walking with Jesus. The attraction of the crowd. I want to ask a question to us tonight. Where is the crowd that is drawing attention to Jesus? Where's the church crowd that is drawing attention to Jesus? I asked myself the question when I looked at, done that word study on the word press and the indication of the crowd that was associated with that word. And the question came on my mind, why is it that the smallest crowds that you'll ever find is places that's about Jesus? Some of the smallest crowds you'll find in this walk of life is going to be in places where Jesus is the melody and theme of the songs, and where Jesus is the message of truth that is preached. And you oftentimes find a small crowd there. A small crowd usually doesn't attract people too much to Jesus. In fact, it's probably would be common to think that people driving by any church and say, well, look, they don't have many. Would that be something that would attract them to say, you know what, hey, let's pull in there. There's not hardly any, I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about just any church that they could drive by and there wouldn't be that many in the vehicles in the parking lot. Would there be anything that would cause them to say, you know what, there's only about three cars there. Let's be sure to stop. Something's going on in there. Where is the crowds at that draws attention to Jesus? Amen. There's something about a crowd. What if, and we've all done this before. If we went outside, even right here, on the side of 11W, and we had 10 people to go up there on the side of 11W, and all 10 people is looking up in the air. If we could see it, I guarantee you nearly every car that passed by that saw the 10 looking up, they would look through the window. There's something about a crowd when they're together looking in the same direction, focusing their attention on the same thing, that it causes other people to want to look. Where's the crowd at? It's drawing attention to Jesus. Amen. Where's that crowd? God help us. Amen. We have a crowd here tonight. We have a crowd here tonight. And if I had the time tonight, I could take a microphone and just kind of meander through the congregation and stop here and there and about and interview some of the crowd in here that's walking with Jesus and following Jesus. And ask you such questions of, do you know Jesus? How long have you known Jesus? Has your life changed because of Jesus? What attracted you to Him? Amen. And well, we could get all kinds of reports with that. Amen. Well, wouldn't you like to take that crowd that's following Jesus and pull one of them aside and say, tell me about it. How do you know this man? You're following Him, you're in the crowd, you're going where He's going. How do you know Him? What has He done in your life? And you no doubt could hear reports of how he changed them, or how they were as a cripple, or how they were blind, or how they were lame, or whatever. And Jesus passed by and made a difference in their life. Praise God. What attracted you? Zacchaeus, probably without a doubt, because of his practice and because of his tax collecting business, and by his own testimony, a lot of that was done fraudulently. He said, if I took anything by false accusation, he took advantage of people, is what that said. And he probably didn't have a friend in the world. Everybody in town probably hated him, because he had took advantage probably of everybody there. That's why he wasn't in the crowd, and that's why he ran ahead of the crowd, and that's why he climbed up the tree. He climbed up the tree not to be seen, but to see Jesus as he passed that way. And all he meant for it to be was just an observance. I'm going to get up to where I can see what is so appealing and so attractive about this man Jesus. Amen. But Jesus stopped and looked up. That's the only time you find a sinner looking down and a Savior looking up, is in this passage. But there's the attraction of the crowd. Number three, this is simple, just simple as it can be. But thirdly, there is the direction that comes from the crowd. And I've already said it, Zacchaeus knew where Jesus was going because of the direction the crowd was going. Zacchaeus knew where he needed to get to somewhat intercept or be in the very pathway of the crowd. Well, I want to tell you tonight, Jesus ought to be able to give direction to sinners by the crowd that's following him. People ought to be able to identify where Jesus is and what direction Jesus is going in because of that church crowd that's with him. I hope this is making sense. It makes sense to me, but I don't know if I'm explaining it to make sense to you or not. The woman with the issue of blood, same way. She knew where Jesus was. She knew because of where the crowd was. And she made her way, and she approached from behind the crowd. Instead of, Zacchaeus went high to see Jesus, she went low to get to Jesus. And without a doubt, she crawled through the crowd and said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment. And she did so. And when she did so, Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? Because he felt that virtue, healing power, miraculous power had went out of him. And when she seen she couldn't be hid, she confessed it, that she were the one that touched him. Amen? But even that woman there used the crowd to find where Jesus was. Well, I believe God wants to use our church crowd for people to be able to find where Jesus is. Amen. I believe that tonight. Amen. Jesus was the attraction and the focus around which the crowd had gathered. And as Jesus moved, the crowd moved. The crowd wasn't directing Jesus, but rather Jesus was directing the crowd. Next tonight, I'd like to point out two more, at least, about this crowd. The inspiration of the crowd. The inspiration of the crowd. When Zacchaeus came in verse number 3, he sought to see Jesus, who he was. That was what his interest was. That was his goal. I want to know something about Jesus. I want to find out about Jesus. I want to see him for who he is. But the Bible said he could not for the press because he was little of stature. He was a wee little man, as we used to sing. And he realized that if I'm going to see Jesus, I'm going to have to be elevated. I'm going to have to climb. And what caused him, listen, what caused Zacchaeus to think that if I'm going to see Jesus, I have got to go higher? The crowd did. Brother Ben, where's the crowd that's causing sinners to want to have a desire to go higher, to climb higher, to put themselves in a position where they can see and have an experience and have an encounter with Jesus Christ. RBT, I want us to be such a crowd that would inspire sinners. Amen. That would inspire sinners to want to go higher. Many of them, just like Zacchaeus, are used to living on a low level. Lost people are living on a low level. But when they see us as a crowd that's around Jesus and following Jesus, it ought to cause them to want to get sick of that little life and that low level of life and that low vision of life and seek to go higher to where they can see Jesus. Have an unobstructed view of the Lord. I like this. Zacchaeus, and by the way, somebody told me years ago, my brother had went to Israel years ago, and my Uncle Joe, but they told me that sycamore tree is still alive, they said. It's humongous, and it's extremely old. But they said that the bottom limb was really high. And Zacchaeus was really small. Can you imagine the effort that it took for Zacchaeus to climb a tree when he couldn't get to the limbs without a lot of problems? But he didn't let him, it didn't stop him. The difficulty didn't stop him. He knew that I have got to get higher in order to see the Lord. He didn't get higher. Here's where a lot of people misses. They want to get higher to where the crowd can see them. They want to go to a higher level in their life, in whatever field, in whatever idea that would entail, so the crowd could see them or so they could see the crowd. But I want to tell you, friend, you'll never get saved by seeing the crowd. You'll never get saved by the crowd seeing you. But you and I should make up a crowd and a congregation here at the church that draws attention to Jesus and will cause sinners to seek the Lord. Now, I don't know. It doesn't say. It does not say why that he sought the Lord in verse 3 to see Jesus for who he was. We don't know the meaning behind that. We don't know, but I want to tell you, no doubt there was something that stirred a curiosity in Zacchaeus. Could it have been that he knew personally some of them people that was walking by in that crowd? Do you think possibly that he probably knew some of that crowd that was passing by? Him being a tax collector, he was used to going to every door, every house, on every street. And so he probably knew everybody in town. He probably knew those that were blind and lame, and he probably knew those that were lepers. He probably knew all of those people. And then here they come walking by, changed. They come and walking by a new life. And you know what? You know what they did? They drew attention to Jesus. We've said that numerous times tonight. And Zacchaeus was stirred in a curiosity of some fashion that if Jesus can do that for them, he can do something for me. The Bible said he was rich. Verse number 2, he was a man of position. He was all of that, man of reputation, and probably just a downright wicked man. Nobody loved him. He had not a friend in the world. And it was so amazing that when Jesus saved him, that the crowd even said that Jesus has gone home to be the guest of a man that is a sinner. So we notice here, the elevation of the crowd. The elevation or the inspiration of that crowd. They inspired this young man through their lives that had been changed to cause a curiosity. A curiosity. And I don't know too many people that get saved till first they get curious. The devil uses curiosity. I believe he got Eve to be curious about the forbidden tree, imagining how it would taste and what it would be like to know good and evil and be as God, you know, and stirred a curiosity. You better watch out for that. You better watch out for curiosity, because that curiosity, when it deals with sin, gets you thinking about what it'd be like, what it tastes like, what it'd feel like, and all those things that would go with that mentality. And before you know it, you're partaking. You're partaking. But the flip side of that is, you and I ought to be living a life spiritually that should cause sinners to be curious about thoughts like this. I wonder what it'd be like to have peace in my heart. I wonder what it would be like to know Jesus myself. I wonder what it would be like to have Jesus to change my life. We should be stirring a curiosity in those that does not know the Lord. Amen. Zacchaeus didn't let his past testimony stop him. When Jesus come to the place, to the tree, and addressed him by name and got personal with him and said, "Make haste, come down, for I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He got saved that day. There's no doubt one day I and you alike, if you're saved, will meet Zacchaeus because of what's stated in these scriptures. But out of all this, there is one negative about the crowd, and we can learn from it. And that's when, verse 7, when Zacchaeus came down, and remember now what attitudes people had toward that one, Zacchaeus, because of the dealings of the past and the thoughts they had. Well, what is he doing? Who does he think he is? Surely Jesus is not interested in him. Would you think such thoughts like that would be in the crowd that is following Jesus? I hope not. I hope we don't have that. But it said here in verse 7, and when they saw it, what? They saw this whole conversation, this whole event transpiring between Jesus and Zacchaeus. And he came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, who was they? Who were they? The crowd. And when they saw it, they all murmured. Wonder what was some of the things that could have been in that murmuring. Why, I don't believe he got saved. There ain't no way he got saved. He didn't get saved, or whatever. Who knows? Murmuring is never good in a good tense in the Bible. It's never got a good light to it in the Bible. It's always bad. Here it is. Jesus Christ is changing a man's life, forgiving a man of sin, working in his life that he so desperately needed. And who of all people are sad about it? Who of all people are not happy about it? Is that crowd, many of which Jesus Christ himself had changed their life. I asked myself the question when Miss Debbie gave that illustration a while ago, or that example a while ago, that older man getting saved this morning in Fall Branch. I guess that was where he was at. And nobody rejoicing there. And then she said, if that were at RBT, that we would have celebrated with that. And the question went through my mind, would we? Would we? We've had people saved here in the last little while. Miss Whitney, you got saved. Ain't been too long, has it? Or how many rejoiced over that? Luke got saved at youth camp. Of course, we cut a shine up there, but I wonder how many is rejoicing about that. Who else got saved? My mind went blank. Who? Yeah, Miss Brandy. And anyway, God help us. This is the negative aspect. God help us to not have this prideful, pharisaical mentality. I mean, after all, are you in the crowd? Has Jesus done something for you? That ought to take every bit of the pride out of you. That the fact is, this crowd following Jesus, some of them may have been in all kinds of shape, Brother Aaron. Some of this crowd could have thought, you know what? I don't need to be critical of Jesus doing a work in Zacchaeus. After all, if I'd have got what I deserved, he'd have walked by me back there up the street a little ways when I was laying on my bed, a paralyzed person or a leper, or I was tapping along on the sidewalk as a blind man. If I'd have got what I deserved, he would have just passed right on by me. How could I have the attitude of, well, I don't understand why Jesus is dealing with Zacchaeus. The Bible says that Jesus is a friend of sinners. What a statement in this text of a man with a reputation as Zacchaeus when it said that he's gone home to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. What a statement. What a testimony for Jesus. He loves identifying himself with sinners. Amen. And may the Lord help us to never get so high on the horse that we have some critical negative attitude when Jesus deals with sinners about being saved. Amen. They ought to have said, thank God, the tax collector of all people has gotten saved. There should have been joy went through the whole town, praise God. That should have been their attitude. That should have been their response to that. Praise the Lord. He won't rob us no more. Instead of eating chips and dip, now we can eat chicken, praise God. They should have said one to the other, elbowing one another, said, hey, did you hear him? Did you hear him? He said, if I've took anything by false accusation, I'm going to restore it fourfold, honey. Get ready. We're going out tonight. He took this, but he's going to restore it back fourfold. Amen. But no, there wasn't a word of that. They were actually irritated over the situation. God forgive us of that if that ever happens. If I can't be glad somebody else has got saved, shame on me. If I can't rejoice, we can't rejoice as a church and as a congregation when Jesus Christ delivers somebody from the bondage of sin, I want to tell you, we're in bad shape. If we soul up and get critical and judgmental and say, they didn't get saved, you know, they didn't cry like I did. Well, show me that in the Bible. They didn't act like I did. Well, show me that in the Bible. We've all seen this. I've seen it. We've seen it. You've seen it. I've seen people that I thought unto God they got saved because they had a puddle of tears up here and used a half a box of Kleenexes. I thought, man, they got it. Never even come back to church. Don't ever see them no more. I've seen people come to the altar, Brother Fultz, and you have, as were you pastor. I've had people that never shed a tear. Never cried. Never, it wasn't no big emotional something. It was just doing business with the Lord. Jesus said he'd save me. Accept the Lord as their Savior. Get up and confess it. And going on and serving the Lord. Young people getting saved. 5 years old, 6 years old. What about that? And they're serving God. Brother Doug Raines, pastor's Progress Baptist Church down in Fletcher, North Carolina, he got saved. I think he was 5 years old when he got saved. I doubt there was a big emotional deal with that, probably. And Brother Scott, he is pastoring a church today. And his families are serving the Lord today. God help us with this. We can learn from that. That's a negative about this crowd, but we can still learn from that not to do that. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I pray you help us as a church family, a church congregation, Lord, to learn something about this truth, Lord, that we can learn from this crowd. Lord, I pray that we can draw attention to you and that people can know where Jesus is and know where they need to get to find you because of the crowd. Lord, may Jesus be the common denominator in this church. May he be the focal point. May he be the center of everything that goes on, here. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name you'll help us tonight. Lord, I believe we can learn some things about this truth that's exhibited here. And Lord, I know that more than likely everybody in that crowd wasn't everything they needed to be. And any time we get together as a church crowd right here, there's never a time that all of us are 100% needing and being exactly everything we need to be. And Lord, that crowd, as they followed Jesus, no doubt every one of them in that crowd had a personal reason for why they were in that crowd. They either had their needs met already, and they were in the crowd following Jesus because of loyalty and because of love and gratitude, or else they were in that crowd needing their lives changed, needing a need met, needing help from the Savior. And they were following and knowing that if I don't get some help from Jesus, I won't get it anywhere else because the world can't help me. Lord, please help us here at the church to be a crowd like this, to have these applications true in our life. Lord, I want to do my part. That crowd was made up of individuals that were doing their part. They couldn't do the part of others. They couldn't make up for three or four. They were individuals doing their part, being where they were in that crowd, following Jesus. And Zacchaeus, that wicked sinner that needed saving, knew what he needed was in that crowd, in the person of the Lord Jesus. And he felt as though, if I can just get ahead of that crowd and get to where in the pathway of that crowd, that crowd's going to bring Jesus right by me. Lord, please help us here to have a testimony as a church like that, to where people in this town, people driving by, people that works with people that are here, goes to school with people that are here, live in the community where people in this church live, and they would see something that stands out about that family or that individual that would cause them to say, you know what, I want to go down there. I want to go down there where that Jesus crowd is. And it may be at first, just initially, I want to go down there out of curiosity. I just want to go see what's going on. And it results in something much bigger. Well, I pray you'll take these simple truths, simple message tonight, and speak to our hearts with it. In Jesus' name we pray.